Hey everybody, welcome back to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I'm CDJ, joined by Tommy and JB Huskers. Guys, we made it. The wait is over. How are you guys doing?
Surviving now. Now that the game's been released, we can actually go on with our lives, I guess.
Yeah, what are we going to do now? What are we going to talk about? But
yeah.
Having a lot of fun with the game. I've been trying a lot of different things. Not enough time to try all these things. So I guess it's a good thing the next game doesn't come out till next July. So,
guys, before we get into kind of not a review of the game, because everyone who's listening to us probably has bought the game, so they don't need a review from us. I think they just want to hear our thoughts in terms of, you know, working together to figure out tips and tricks on how to make the experience better. But first, guys, I want to talk about when you first played the game. I know you guys had work schedules and things going on, so you may not have been there at 3 p.m. Central on Monday when that game came out. But I do want to know, when you first fired up the game, just what were your thoughts after 11 years away, after 3 years of podcasts, after good rumors and bad rumors all around? What were your thoughts when you finally were able to sit down on your couch and play the game for the first time?
Well, I actually happened to be in Europe at the time, so I was playing in a hotel in the Netherlands, battling COVID, lo and behold. But yeah, long story short, it was definitely a sense of joy to fire up the game. And because there was a delay in the game, I couldn't really actually play a game. But, you know, just firing it up, starting a sim-only mm-hmm. dynasty and just kind of getting my hands mm-hmm. dirty, so to speak. It definitely, you know, it was late at night at the time, but it was worth it just to kind of spend a couple of hours with it that night.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to, with my schedules, I didn't get a chance to play it till Wednesday. And that was the stream that we did mm-hmm. on the Gaming Tailgate. Chris and I played, I think, five games.
They were fun.
We played five games online. I think it was a 3-2 split. It was a pretty even mm-hmm. matchup all throughout. It was a lot of fun. The people that joined us on the stream, thank you. It was a lot of fun chatting mm-hmm. with everybody as well. That was my first taste of the game. And then I got to, then I think I dug into some Road to Glory. And then I did a recruiting only dynasty as well. Kind of got through a season of that. And so overall, I think the game is playing really well. There's obviously some things that need work done, but I think a lot of those details, I think the casual fan has really taken to it. I think the kind of the scores and the reception kind of said that as well. Just the mm-hmm. fact that it is playing well. There are things that need to be worked on, but they'll get addressed. But overall, I think the game is playing well and has given us a great start to the return of college football.
Yeah, I think, JB, you made a great point. The game plays well. There's definitely some things that need to be addressed and hopefully will be addressed soon, particularly things that I've seen with Dynasty, some, you know, especially like top 25 logic and mm-hmm. some things where recruits won't let you invite them for a visit, things like that. So, yeah, there's definitely things that need to be fixed, in my opinion, before you start your real Dynasty. So, I mean, I'm still playing a kind of a dummy dynasty just to kind of get my hands dirty. But, yeah, definitely the gameplay itself is a lot of fun. If you find some good sliders, it's really challenging and can be a lot of fun. And it's, you know, it's to me, it brings a whole new level that 14 didn't have that, you know, we've kind of been missing. And it is the modern big brother of what we had before.
Yeah, I've played a lot of Road to Glory. I'm in my second year. I played as the underdog, the guy behind me here. You can't see it because it's right in the middle, but I'm a 2-star, 60 overall. Sat out the entire first year. They actually redshirted me. That was cool. So I played a lot of quarterback because within week 6 or game 6, I think it was, I took over after finally winning enough position battles. I actually fell down to third. I lost a position battle. So it was kind of a battle to get back up. So I'm about ready to finish my freshman year there. So with all of that, I hadn't really sat down and played a play now game. I played Chris when I first played, and I've been playing Road to Glory, and then I did a Sim Dynasty. So finally tonight, I sat down and played a play now game, Nebraska-Iowa Heroes game, and played it on Varsity, everything default. And it was pretty challenging. It was a good game. It ended up 27-17. I think a pick six of mine early kind of kept the distance. And, for my first kind of actual play now game, I was pretty happy with how the flow of the game went. And like Tommy, I'm waiting for a big major patch to actually start my offline. I'll do an offline Husker Dynasty, and obviously we'll get an online Dynasty going at some point as well. But I'm with Tommy. I'm going to wait until we get more details that some of those things have been fixed, like – I think like what a 7-6 team was in the playoff or something like that, or maybe in the top five or something.
Yeah, you definitely see that way too often, to where a team with quality losses has too many quality losses and still in the top five.
So the game in early access, EA put out that 2.2 million people had played it, which is extremely impressive, given that you had to buy the deluxe or the MVP bundle. And we have not heard any numbers for what the standard edition did. I got to think that is probably doubles that number. Could be wrong, but I got to think a lot of the casual people just picked up the $70 version. Were you guys caught off guard, or in a good way? I was surprised how quickly the game kind of permeated pop culture in terms of so many memes right off the bat. People who were calling it NCAA 25, that seemed like that kind of eradicated quickly. People figured out and called it CFB 25. Like that, everybody kind of picked up on that pretty quickly. Just, I mean, even the memes to this day are still coming out about this game. Have you seen the ones where the guy in real life, he pulls pictures of this stressful situation he's in? And he photoshops the stadium pulse in the upper right corner. And he's always like, got to lock in. And he always has the stadium pulse. He's done that for about at least four or five that I've seen. And they're pretty funny. All of them are pretty funny.
No, I haven't seen that one. But yeah, definitely there's some good stuff going around. Just kind of poking at the game, but then also, you know, celebrating the game a little bit as well. So it's kind of a nice little balance there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's sites like major, one of the biggest gaming YouTube sites right now for gaming is for news and such as GameRanks. And they're even saying themselves, this feels like it's outshadowing Madden, and which is kind of a cool thing for once to see the college game kind of outshine Madden at some point. I feel like at least in my circles and such, it seems like still all the talk is college football. Now that of course could be because Chris and I guess Tommy are from college football states. So that may be part of it, but it does really seem like this is the focus this year with the gaming crowd. And I like to hear that.
Yeah. Even some non-sports gamers I've seen talking about it, not in the sense of, hey, I got to go out and get it, but kind of impressed with, you know, all of the depth that's in there and that the game is offering. So, I mean, it's definitely caught a lot more attention than to me NCAA ever did in the past. To me, obviously Madden's going to kind of take over once it releases, but in the meantime, it's living up to the hype, I think.
Yeah, and I've had friends that are not really gamers that went out and bought a PS5 just to play the game and get the game. And people I didn't even know played video games I've seen on Facebook playing this game. So it's very impressive the reach that this had, of course, obviously with those football schools, those states that are very college football heavy. I think that's going to be that was a major selling point to be able to play again. Some of these people probably hadn't played since their childhood. So I think it was it's really had a pretty good reach to start. And I think the fact that the game is playing well to start right out of the gate is not going to shut those casual people out either.
When I first fired up the game, one thing that stood out, and I think a lot of people said the same thing, was the home field advantage in terms of not only the graphics and the meter and the fuzzy play art, but also the audio of the game was so much louder in terms of the crowd and the music. Were you guys kind of like me, maybe kind of blown away, like, wow, this felt like a big leap from NCAA 14 to CFB 25, just on that alone, the first, 2 minutes going to a game and it just feeling like you're there, just so much better, especially in that audio and presentation aspect.
Yeah, I would say so. You can tell a significant difference. Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels similar to what we had in the sense of, like the controller rattles and the screen shakes and stuff like that. And like you said, the fuzzy play art. But to me, the bigger thing that we really never saw in the past was that receivers, if you try to hot route or something like that, they'll get the wrong play. Or if you try to audible or something like that, the players will still end up running the original play. And it's, it can, to me, I've gotten thrown for a loop in a couple of cases playing at Michigan. And, really you cannot get, a play. So if you don't come out of the huddle with the correct play, then you're going to struggle.
Yeah, my underdog freshman just played at Penn State. Boy, that was a joy to play. I got cremated. I had to spend energy on recovery as much as I got cremated in that game. But the just the fidelity of the crowd, obviously we got two generations better now, but just the fidelity of the crowd and the look, the overall feel of the stadium and look as you're looking down the field is just so impressive with what they've been able to do. The sounds as well, I haven't really, dug into too many, paying close attention to the commentary because I was playing online with Chris, or I'm just doing Road to Glory, things like that. So, getting a few, actually getting into the Dynasty and kind of seeing some things, but just overall, just the graphics, just the crowd, just seeing that, see it in motion, just is amazing to see.
And Tommy, you mentioned earlier the F word, that the game is fun. That's something that I know it's easy to sit and point out what's not right or what could be improved, and we hope we're coming in patches. But I agree with you, and I think the overall community sentiment is that the game is fun. While we do want more and do need some corrections, and I think EA would admit there needs to be some corrections coming down, down the pipe here. What stood out to me, some of the like the gameplay is fun, but I right off the bat, the pursuit angles and some of the missed tackles. We speculated the missed tackles on the gameplay. When Quizzy joined me and we broke down that gameplay first look, we thought, well, maybe it's just the two users are the reasons for the bad tackles. And then the game came out and it's like, okay, it's partly them. It's also partly that the tackling in the game is difficult. What are your guys' thoughts? Those, to me, those are two of the bigger things that I think are going to have to be addressed in a patch sooner than later.
Honestly, yeah, the tackling can be difficult, but I think it's almost realistically difficult from my experience. As a user, you have to learn to press the X button on PlayStation, and I think it's what A on Xbox. To me, that's the breakdown and make a tackle button. So if you're trying to hit stick everyone, if you're trying to dive at everyone, you're not going to make
You're
those
gonna
plays.
fail.
Exactly. Yeah. Even just trying to run at somebody, if you're running full speed at somebody, and you don't release the speed boost, or you don't press X or something like that, you're gonna miss those tackles a lot of times. And again, that's realistic. You have to, break down and make the tackle and actually attempt to wrap up. So I mean, to me, it is realistic. Again, I'm playing with modified sliders,
Do you know what you have
so
your
I mean.
tackling set to? Because I bump mine to 55, and I feel it's way better. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I do feel like going just to 50, from 50 to 55, I felt like it helped a lot.
Yeah, offhand, I don't know what they are. I downloaded a set that were available in the downloadable section. They're called Realistic, is the title of them, and they actually do, to me, play pretty realistic. I mean, still, I'm struggling with some of the high speed full court press basketball type football games, but at the same time, it seems a lot better than the default All-American that I was playing on before.
Yeah, I seem like a lot of times with X, I'm getting a lot of stonewall broken tackles, but I'm having a lot more success with the hit stick than I am with square. So I've been just trying to keep myself out of doing square, because I feel like that's been just not really working. But the hit stick has worked a lot better than square. And but the X, yeah, there's a lot of broken tackles. I see that. But maybe that is just with the competition that you're playing against too. The better running back, as opposed to the person coming up to make the tackle. So maybe, it is realistic because it is prompting you to hit X. So I'd assume you have to probably keep tapping X to continuously finish that tackle, I assume.
Well, and what I'm talking about is pressing X before you actually engage them to actually trigger the wrap up. But yeah, once you have them wrapped up, then yeah, you tap X to kind of pull them down. That's kind of, if they tap X, then they can try to break the tackle and you try to rip them down. So, but yeah, I'm talking about even before that, if you press the X button, it'll kind of break down and make the tackle. Now,
And
if you
don't
do it in the
dive.
open field, yeah, don't dive. But if you do it in the open field, like if let's say you're 10 yards ahead and you press X, your player will stop. But that's again because he's trying to quote unquote break down and make the play. But yeah, to me, that's a big learning lesson from NCAA 14 that, that's the first thing that you need to learn just to be able to tackle people, from my perspective.
I was trying to hit square off the when I first played, and that's dive. And so that was a disaster. So I went to the controls, and like you said, saw that X was breakdown. When I was hitting square, it was the dive, which I understand why that did not work. But then as I played more games and get into a situation where I do want to dive, every player has the same that offensive lineman dive. Like they slow and they go up and down, whereas like okay, a lineman chasing when he died, that's realistic. But a 4-3 corner, he doesn't dive like that. So that's one of those down the line. They're gonna have to 26, 27, put animations for a real dive. I have yet to run into a situation where dive as a defender actually worked. I usually cost me yards, if anything.
Yeah, I've had some success, but it's more when you're at the off in the, kind of in the trenches, and you're trying to make that lunge when they're not at full speed. They're trying to get to the hole, and you want to clog the hole, so you dive into the hole or something like that. But yeah, it's you got to be selective on when you can use it, and it's, a big change from the past.
Pursuit angles, would you agree or disagree that to me, that seems like one of the big community things I've seen is those angles. They always want to run kind of behind the ball carrier. The computer help is not, it's not there.
Yeah, I have seen that. It, again, I think it's ratings dependent. Mm-hmm. You know, the better pursuit rated players will have better pursuit angles, but at the same time, that's a complaint that we had in the past. I don't remember what year it was, to where they would literally run where they were instead of where they're going, you know, that kind of thing. So
the Road to Glory training game, the option game, if you see the play art where the halfback is going to the outside, always choose to give it to the halfback because that defender is always getting beat on that practice mode. It's like 100%. It works 100% of the time. It's wild. Yeah. Cause so that in particular, that kind of option where that halfback is running out to the outside that, and of course there's less, you know, this is, I think, less defenders in that mode as well. So that could be a part of it as well, but it almost seems like it works 100% of the time. Cause that guy just doesn't react correctly to the running back going outside.
The big issue I've seen a lot online the past several days is the spin move, especially as it relates to Quinshon Judkins. I believe it's the highest tier for the 360 ability, if I remember correctly. Have you guys seen those videos? I've not seen it firsthand because I haven't played a lot online the last few days. But seeing the videos online, I can see why people are complaining about it. But I will say, OG, Scott O'Gallagher on his Twitter, he put out a kind of a cryptic tweet on Sunday afternoon saying, I see it. We have something coming to address it. He never said what it is. It was just a random, wasn't quoting anybody. I took it to mean the spin issue because that seems to be the biggest one that has been on social media over the last couple of days. Have you guys seen those videos? There's one against, they're going against Oregon, and just impressed at the number of players he goes through on the spin move.
Yeah, I saw that one clip, and yeah, that definitely is completely unrealistic. It's, you know, it's like a gang of, you know, like eight players, and he literally spins around all eight of them in one bunch.
Like the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, he's not spin. He's doing one big spin move.
It's a massive spin.
And he just misses the whole bunch. But at the same time, it's pretty overdone, overpowered. So, you know, I definitely can see that. I will say, kind of back to the same point about tackling and stuff like that, I've seen some clips to where it's almost laughable that the opponent is not tackling. They're trying to hit stick, they're trying to dive and doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the opponent is like, as the player is just dancing all over the screen and having fun and you know, almost mocking them to an extent. So, I mean, it's, you know, again, there's definitely a learning curve. There is a skill gap that can be there. So, you know, if you're going to play online, definitely, you know, you gotta, you know, beef up. So
you gotta have the basics down before you go online.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting the spin move to work. I think I must be doing it too late or something like that, where the wrap up animation is starting or something. And that was just in the one play now game that I've been able to get into, because obviously with Road to Glory, I'm playing a quarterback, so I'm not doing too much spin move there. And I haven't really started a dynasty yet. So yeah, the little bit of time I've had with it, I've had trouble getting it to really work effectively, like maybe on a kickoff or something like that.
And awesome. Again, it's going to be ratings dependent. I mean, it's not everyone. You can't take a tight end and run a spin move. I mean, he's going to, you know, he's going to be very slow at it, and it's not going to work. So.
And abilities dependent too, because Quinshon, I think, has that highest tier as well.
Went across a quarter of the field on that spin move too.
I think he did.
Yeah. That was a little bit overblown for sure. So.
So the last kind of the issue I've seen a lot of the community talk about is running the option and kind of getting it mastered to where, now you got to hit X for the quarterback to, you know, to keep it. And I know I've gone into practice mode and I'll get it some of the time, but there's still plenty of times where I don't, and I don't feel comfortable enough yet. Personally, I would not run it against a person yet. And I've seen a lot of people kind of say they're in the same boat. Have you guys got that figured out, or am I the lone ranger on this one?
I mean, I've only been playing Dynasty. So obviously I'm just playing against the computer. I will say, probably 75% of the time they go after the running back. So it's easy to just train yourself to just hit X, you know, 3/4 of the time, basically. But definitely, yeah. I mean, I think I've got it down to where I could go online and play a game against somebody and do pretty good. But at the same time, just like in real life, about half the time, or not half the time, but from time to time, I'm making the mistake of not, you know, either pressing the button when I shouldn't or whatever. So it's definitely a learning curve, but I I think I've learned it as well as I'm probably going to, and it's you know, I in the games against the computer, I can be pretty deadly with the option.
And just what I was talking about earlier, that Road to Glory practice mode with the option is a great way for you to get it down and learn to hold X to keep it now instead of just letting it go. And also you get a good idea of what the defenders are doing, even though it's a smaller amount of players on the field for the drill. I think it's a good way for you to at least get down the muscle memory of what to do and what to see, and then also make sure to remember to flip-flop what you used to know about with pitching or with holding and such. But and then once you keep the ball, you know, the pitching, the different pitches, and that, it's another good it's a good practice. I think that Road to Glory, and is it available in the regular modes too, or just from the menu?
I
Yeah,
think there
so
is.
There's
Yeah, I
mini
think there
games
is a.
and
So
yeah, there's mini
I
games, so.
highly suggest doing that option one to practice that if that's something you're looking to put into your offense, a good deal.
Now, Dynasty mode, JB, I think maybe all of us were the same way. I've done a dummy one. I've played no games, but worked on recruiting. I want to learn recruiting. Are you guys in the same boat? I've not started a real one
Yeah.
yet.
I did one full season the other night.
I'm not doing a real one, but I am in 2030. So yeah, I've played probably about half the games or so, I'd say. Again, being knocked out with COVID, that's the one good excuse. I couldn't go anywhere, so just plopped myself down in front of the game and you know, kind of went at it. So, but yeah, I started with Akron as an OC. Eventually won the national championship. That's what my background here is. So celebrate that one. Go Zips. But then, yeah, after leading them and having three separate head coaches, they never offered me the job. So finally, I said, "Screw you guys. I'm going to Penn State." So I'm in my first year now as the head coach at Penn State, and it's definitely a different experience. It's you know. Lost to Rutgers, lost to Michigan, at the big house because of, you know, being on the road. That definitely was a big challenge. So, but to me, it's been a lot of fun and a good challenge, and definitely, you know, again, there's things that have to be fixed before I would start my permanent one. But in the meantime, I'm having fun with the way it is.
Yeah, I just did Dynasty only as well. I didn't even play any of the games. I just went to the top, near the top from the beginning. I was an OC at Ohio State, just to see how easy it was to recruit. It is not that easy to recruit. I only got one five-star guy. I was second place in a lot of five-star guys' books, but only one five-star guy signed with me. And I think maybe I would say 14. I think I had 14 four stars and 14 three stars. I ended up being, I think, had the 12th best recruiting. They had a couple of hiccups, but beat Michigan and ended up 9-3 in the playoff. And again, I simmed everything. I didn't play everything. And Ohio State ended up going to the title game, actually. I think they lost the title game, though. But the recruiting, yeah, I thought with Ohio State, I'd be swimming in five-star recruits. And that was not the case. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that there's a little bit of a challenge of managing your time, managing your resources. It took me a while to kind of get the hang of it, especially the hang of, oh, each person only has 50 points. I didn't realize that at first. I'm like, why can't I stack these? I've got this time that I can do. But it took me a minute to realize that there's a lot going on, but it's really fun and good. And like Tommy said, once they get everything started again, then I'll start a full one and play everything and do the whole gamut, you know, and maybe start. I'll probably just do one with Nebraska head coach. And then I don't know if I'll hop around on this offline dynasty like that. But going 9-3 at Ohio State, going to the title game, I had two head coach offers, and they were not that good. They were like smaller schools. A couple of equal schools offered me the same position. So really did not have many offers, which kind of surprised me, on a team that being the OC of a team that went to the title game.
What do you think about Dynasty and recruiting as well?
I would say definitely there is a lot to learn, and it is a new mechanic that definitely it's a lot of fun and it is a challenge. I think eventually you kind of learn the routine, and there are some kind of tricks that if you learn those early on, then you can have a little bit more success. I don't want to tip my hand too bad because we'll be playing in an online dynasty together at some point. So, but definitely, you know, investing points in your coach, you know, obviously those go a long way. Being able to scout players, being able to add more points than 50 to a particular player, it definitely is a lot of fun. I will say, as Akron, even early on, I was able to sign some 4-star recruits as a 1.5-star school. Actually, after the second year, I was a 1-star. So even then, I was able to sign some 4-star recruits. So there's still a lot of recruits that completely have zero offers by the end of the season. You know, you reach the off season and you got some 4-stars that have zero attention at all. So definitely that's stuff that's got to be fixed. If you ignore those kind of things, and if you are just a top school and you're going after recruits and competing, then yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you feel really good about signing that 4-star, that 5-star. And, you know, it's definitely, it's an improvement from 14. I would say it's also an improvement from 13, because it's kind of that middle balance that they were going for. And I think it fits really well there.
Yeah. I was just happy with the challenge of it. Even being a big school, nothing was guaranteed. And as Tommy said, I had the same thing. I didn't have a ton of 4-stars, but I had a lot of 3-stars that weren't touched. So that was kind of nice to be able to go to when I was failing with all these 5-stars. By the end of the season, I think there were about 3 4-star guys that had no scholarship offers. There were still a bunch on the table, but they were actually engaged with people. So I didn't see a ton in this first year of just completely not being touched or offered scholarships. But as opposed to 3-stars, I did see a ton of them on mine with Ohio State. But and then the transfer portal was kind of an interesting wrinkle too. Once I got into the offseason there, going after some of those guys. And does the transfer portal doesn't count into like the overall top rankings for recruiting, right?
It does.
Yeah, it does. Okay.
And there's actually different rankings. There's a high school ranking, and then there's a transfer portal ranking, and then there's an overall ranking, I think.
Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. Cause it kind of threw me off at first that it was being included in, grouped into one. So I was a little thrown off with that at first, but
that was one of the tips I was going to give, was like, if you get about halfway through the season, look for some of those 4-stars that don't have a lot of any offers, or their meter's not very full. I was able to, now just because you go after them doesn't mean you're going to get them, but I did find that I was able to, you know, offer them and talk to them for a few weeks. And if it doesn't go up, forget about them. But I was able to get 2 or 3 of those guys. So, but I got to think that will be something that they'll probably tune or tweak in a future game update. I don't think that's going to be there all year as an outlet.
Well, the funny part was, once you started paying attention to them, then other schools started paying attention to them.
Which is realistic, because sometimes once a school, you know, if it's a big school, especially in real life, like if there's a guy who's under the radar, once a big school starts sniffing around, then everyone's like, well, maybe we ought to go after him. So that's realistic. But I don't know if it's realistic to where, if it's a 4-star, that they have no suitors, really. That part seems to me, a little, there's too many of them at least.
Exactly. At a 4-star, pretty much they're going to have offers within the first couple of weeks, I would think. Yeah. Now, maybe they don't give them a lot of time. You know, they give them a scholarship offer, but they don't actually give them very much time. Okay, I can believe that. But at the same time, to not have any scholarship offers, I mean, short of the guy having bad grades, I can't imagine a real world scenario where that happens. So,
now, what do you think about the overall features within Dynasty? And I ask this because, say, a lot of us, you know, we got the game on Monday. All right, if you had the deluxe or the MVP bundle. Thursday evening, I was reading a thread on Reddit. So people who've been playing the game pretty hardcore for 3 days, there was a thread that was pretty critical of Dynasty mode. And one of the terms I saw was, they said the mode is very bare bones. When you go look and read it and look at it a little deeper, my perception of it was, part of their complaints, and I think this was valid, is that like the parts are there, but they're not really connected. We don't have exactly what we had in 14. And one of the examples is, say, the toughest places to play. You could view that in 14 to see where you were at or see where the top 25. Here, you don't know until you go into your game and see the stadium polls and have that number. You don't know if you've cracked it. You don't know where you're at. It just seems like there's a lot of, like, on the player card, you can't view their stats. Just a lot of, I don't want to say little things, because I don't know how easy or difficult it is to put some of this stuff in, but it just feels like those things add up. And I think that's why on this thread on Reddit, you know, there were people calling it bare bones and disappointed in it, which I thought, we're 3 days in and the standard release guys haven't even got the game, and there's already a portion of the community saying it's bare bones. I don't know that I completely agree, but I do see where they were coming from with that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would not call it bare bones in the sense of features, but I would definitely complain a lot about the interconnectivity between all the different areas. I mean, you have to see the top 25. You can see the top 25, but to know what their schedule was and why they're number 25 or, in the top 25, there's no way to see that. You have to back out, go to schedules, tab down until you find the correct team. There's a lot of back and forth from menus if you truly wanted to kind of live in the world of the game. So I think that's where the complaint is very valid. Even the Heisman ranking, you can see the top five, you can see what they did last week, but you have no idea what they're doing on week to, on the season on as a whole until you go and again dig into a menu and look at stats and stuff like that. I will say it is nice. They have historical stats, so they have career stats for players, so you can go out and see that. So that's really nice. But again, trying to find all that is very difficult. You have to dig into menus, and if you go to the player card, you can go and see stats, but you have to cycle through menus and again, it's all of this information is there. Why is it not connected somehow? Why is it not easy to find? And it just doesn't seem to be a living world in the sense of, it like 14 was. It's closer to Madden in the sense of it's just play a game, recruit, go to the next week, play a game, recruit, that kind of stuff. To me, they need to, if you're a team and you're unranked and all of a sudden this week you get ranked, tell me that. Don't make me go and hunt and peck and say, oh, I am number 22 this week, or whatever. It's yeah, the player of the week is great, and those screens are kind of nice, but at the same time, if you're getting that every week, it kind of gets monotonous. Show it in a little different format there, but show me more of what's happening in that world, not just the player of the week.
It seems like that text is pretty limited too. Like even when it gives you scores from other games, it'll be the exact same headline in text. I noticed that there was a couple of games that give you like the some of the national games going on, which is great. It was the exact same text for both the two games. So the variety isn't there, at least in year one.
Yeah,
And
for
what
sure. It's
they could do something that Madden has been doing when you have major things come up, which like a contract signing to negotiate, somebody getting hurt, things like that. They would add that to the whole windowed list of things you got to do for the week, including playing your game and scouting for the draft and things like that. They would add those kind of things, and including like you made player of the week and things like that. So they could probably take from Madden and put some of those dynamic things in there about being ranked, about being in the Heisman chase and things like that. I would assume you could, I don't think it would be too hard to carry over. Maybe it's trying to replicate the situations to make it come up, because it's going to be different situations for college than it is for Madden. So, but something like that would be very beneficial for you to at least click on within your tasks to do for the week, and then you go right to it instead of having to hunt for it.
That is the biggest thing. All of the information is there. All of it is available. Put it in front of my face. Don't hit me over the head with it, but it make it easy for me to get to and see and celebrate that now my Heisman running back is in the running or something like that. Again, it doesn't have to be over the top, but just kind of make it to where there's something more than just play the game and recruit and go on.
Speaking of Heisman, have you seen the bug where you get the Heisman results and then you advance like, I don't know, a week or two later, and the Heisman panel is still there? And so for some reason the dynasty thought, well, I'm gonna click on it. And I already saw the Florida receiver in my dynasty one at year one. I click on it and it still is updating the Heisman through the playoffs. So then even though he's won it, he's now number the Florida receiver was now number two on the Heisman list. So like it doesn't know to shut off, quit calculating the stats for the Heisman. We're done. We've already given it away.
I ain't giving it back.
And in addition, that there's a lot of small bugs. We joked before the game came out that it was going to come in hot. And I know if you go through the awards, they have the trophies in the wrong categories. And I don't know if that's something that changes as you scroll through, or if they're wrong from the get-go. I didn't catch that. But like the Heisman was showing up for a positional award. They're showing up in the wrong spot. And it's like, okay, there's a lot going on here that needs to be cleaned up a little bit.
The complaint I've seen is, have the devs played Dynasty? And obviously they did, but there is a lot of stuff that was that I can't understand why it was overlooked. Now, obviously it could have been a priority issue that they had too many other things going on or something like that. but there are a lot of things that they're blatant to where you, why were they not addressed, or why were they not in the day one patch or something like right. that? You know,
if it was known shippable, I can understand, but then you would think by the following Monday after the deluxe release, they would have been maybe in a patch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, it's some of it's small things, but you know, some of it are, they are big things.
But all the small things add up though.
Of course. Absolutely.
On our Twitter account at Gaming Tailgate, we've asked the community a couple different early temperature checks, you know, on the game, what they think. One was on Dynasty mode. And let's go through some of those real quick here. We did ask, what do you enjoy most about it? What do you hope gets added, whether it's a game update here for 25 or in the future in 26? And we'll go through, we'll show all these and we'll talk about just a few in particular. Texas Longhorn Fan Battle Podcast has added space. The mode is fantastic. There needs to be some tweaking. There shouldn't be many unclaimed recruits so far into the cycle, which we mentioned. Tuning up the top 25 college football playoff polls. I've seen some weird playoff polls out there, pictures. More ease of use of custom scheduling, specifically related to multi-user dynasties. I've seen a lot of people saying that if you do a lot of changes to your custom schedule, you really can mess your game up. Jet Set JB, that's not the same JB here, but it could be. And this is a big community request. All they want is editing generic players' numbers so I can finally start my dynasty. JB, you're mentioning your Road to Glory that you have a little bit of a trickery going on.
Yeah, I decided to be number zero just because it's unique for a quarterback. And the first game, I play a throw to a wide receiver with the number zero. I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So, and he was a starter. So yeah, there, it let me choose zero, but though even though there was a starter on the same side of the ball with zero, because college football, you could still have the same number as long as they're on different, or they changed that.
As long as they're on the field
No, they can't be on. Yeah, exactly. They can't be on the field together.
Yes, yeah. So offense and defense could still have the same number that rule. But yeah, this was, he was starting on the offense and I was quarterback and he was wide receiver. So
I can kind of understand that a little bit. I mean, that would be pretty difficult and limiting if you, I mean, I guess you would just make it to where at least limit to where two offensive players and two defensive players can't have the same number or something like that. You know, that I could see doing, but, but yeah, definitely I would want the ability to be able to set numbers, because that is pretty frustrating.
Quan says the only issue I have with Dynasty is how many teams are getting knocked off by lower caliber teams or teams they should beat. I just made it to the playoffs and there's no Georgia, Oregon, Texas, Bama, Ohio State, et cetera. Outside of that, it's dope. That is the big thing. A lot of the sim logic sounds like it's really pretty rough, and FCS teams upsetting teams with the sim logic. Plus, if you play on Heisman, I hear that the FCS schools are pretty tough.
Yeah, there's the FCS Midwest, I think it is. Honestly, they play a lot higher than what their ratings indicate. I mean, like they have Robo QBs, you know, that kind of thing. So definitely that one especially is a, you know, better than some of the others.
They're coming to the Sun Belt next year.
Yeah.
I like, well, Georgia, I think is, they lost a lot though. So I could see, you could see Georgia falling to a team maybe, but yeah, with some of those, like in the dynasty I was simming with Ohio State, I mean, they were 9-3 and they shot from 12 to 4 out of nowhere. So I don't know if I should have looked, but to see if like a bunch of big teams had lost those games to some smaller schools or what had happened there.
John the Gooper says, let's create players in our offline dynasty. That's another big community request. Santo Santana, fix injuries and add a bit more to recruiting and end of season awards in next year's edition. Injuries are a big one. I know Coach Gunn's been pretty strong on carrying the flag for the long-term injuries in terms of they're just really not there.
Well, in my first season, I lost my starting linebacker for like 36 weeks. So obviously he did not play the rest of the season. And I've seen somebody else post a picture of their quarterback, I think it was, had a career ending injury as a freshman.
Lower back strain or something, which is, it seems like a weird injury to be a career ending, because I thought it was fake at first just because I'm leery of everything I see online. So when I see just one picture, I think, but then in the comments and the replies to him, like there were other people who had the same screen, you know, same injury and same out for their career. And it was that lower back strength. The comment was, what did he do? Stretch too much? Or is that supposed to be like he broke his, is that what, like he strained his spine out of his body? Like what?
Picked up his Amazon Prime package off the ground too quickly.
Game Day Gaming mentioned some of the things you mentioned, Tommy. Just that connectivity, being able to see stats and player cards from the awards section, conference pages, etc.
Again, I'll say for all of that, the data is there. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of surfacing it. And, you know, all that does is take... It doesn't take a lot of creativity. It doesn't take a lot of manpower to do some of those things. The data is there
to get to that screen.
Yeah, but I mean, even if it was that, that's fine, but don't make it to where, you know, I have to back out three menus in order to go and find something relative.
QT says what I like most of it is it's fun. What I hope they add is more information in the coaches tab, closer to all the info we got in NCAA Football 14. Also, can we revert the option controls to the old way? I can't get it now. Also, there are way too many rain games. Tone it down, please. Yeah, there's no dynamic weather, no weather channel feed, and no or progressive lighting in the game, which understandable. There's things they had to obviously, you know, year one, draw the line on. So hopefully they come back in 26. Red Senderling, pro, it's fun. Cons, Heisman is broken. It doesn't make the CPU better. It just cheats. Wasn't it that way back in the NCAA football days? I remember,
Yes.
like, I think it's funny that there's so many guys who instantly dove headfirst into Heisman this year with College Football 25. And I thought the highest level, like on Madden and NCAA football back in the day, it was more cheats, but it was the guys who were so good on the sticks or had such great teams, they would say, okay, I'll play Heisman for a challenge. But I thought always the consensus was play an All-American, edit your sliders to get the challenge, not Heisman because it just cheats. Awards are broken. I've had players win Heisman and best at their position, but not make any All-American team. Sim results are bad. That kind of, you know, echoing what we've heard and what we've said so far on the show.
I will say, going back to talking about jumping straight to Heisman, I think this year the big difference is the AI that you can turn on and off. You can influence how strong it is, I think, if I remember correctly. But honestly, I think that has a huge deal to it, because if you're calling the same plays over and over, if you're running the ball all the time, you know, those kind of things, they truly do seem to adjust. Because I've noticed that my offense is built around the run, and they're stacking the box most of the time. Now, that allows me to then go over the top of them and be successful with the pass, but at the same time, I've got to be able to play both ways instead of just being focused on one style of play.
Presentation, that was something we kind of talked about a little bit on the beginning of the show with crowd audio and the chants and the songs. What do you guys think about what they did? They don't have the ESPN license this year. We knew that going in. Do you like the overlay and the score bugs and banners and how they present things?
Yeah, I think overall it's an improvement there. There's still some work that can be done, and some improvement there. The score bug's pretty good. The ticker at the bottom is easy to overlook, which I guess can be good or bad, because at least it's not distracting. But at the same time, during the game, I never noticed it until Kevin O'Connor comes in and or Kevin Connor comes in and starts talking about the game. So yeah, it's a good first year, but I know they can build more on top of that.
Yeah, one of my complaints on the bug, I like the looks of it, and it's not as busy as Madden's, thank God. The after the play stats, they don't come up as often as I want them to be.
I
I
agree with
would
that.
I would like to see where my running back is at on my quarterback road to glory. Is he doing good? Do I need to start calling audibles, you know, or change the play from what the coach is giving me, because the running back just isn't getting it done. You know, I just noticed that it doesn't pop up as often as it should in the past. But presentation wise, it's great. Like I said, I went into that play now game with Nebraska. It popped up the result from last year's game. I thought that was pretty cool that it popped that up, and also gave the series between, you know, who's had the most wins and who's had the longest streak. And that all that stuff in the play now was really cool to see, having them reach back to some stats from last year. In-game presentation, one of my biggest complaints is you cannot read the players on the best zoom out view. You have to zoom all the way in, which is way too close. So there needs to either be an adjustment on the camera that I use, or an in-between or something, but you cannot read the players' names for anything on the best zoom, in my opinion, that I like. I don't like the up close. I like one step back.
So the text below their names, it stays small. Like, if you zoom out, the text gets smaller, kind of thing, or
Well, I just can't read it.
Yeah,
Like
it's tough to read,
the
period, I think
player
on that.
under the player, you just can't read it.
Yeah,
I
no,
would
I
say
agree.
one of the comments we had in responses on Twitter was, I believe it's Corey Hall from Hardcore Gamers. He had said one of his things he wants the game to fix, and I agree, is he said, and I can't quote him exactly, I have in front of me, but basically said he wants the text to be so it's legible. And he joked that the game must have been designed or tested for all the streamers who play on 19-inch TVs right in front of them. Because there's a lot of text that it is very difficult to read. Like the names under the players, I think it's very tough to read. When you use the coach vision to look at the wear and tear, that's difficult to read, especially if you're zoomed out. So there's a lot of it. And like JB said on that score bug, when they pop up the stats, the player name for when they do show the stats is pretty small. So there's a, in addition to the frequency not being there, being able to read it is also a challenge. I mean, those are small things, but small things all add up. So I think those are some good presentation mentions as well.
I was just going to say, I don't know if it's the font they're using or just, it just looks garbled. Like, it's not the fact that it's, I think it's just the clarity of it is not there for some reason. There's something, and if it's the font they're using or just the scale they're using or something, it just looks, it just looks like a garbled mess. I could read it better on the scorebook than I can on the field, though. I will say that. But yeah, on the field, it just looks like a bunch of random white letters. You know, you can't discern it.
It's pretty thin. It's not bolded or highlighted or anything. It's like they went with the first font they put in the game and left it.
Yeah. To me, the weakest thing I'll say about presentation, it unfortunately is Chris Fowler. I don't know if you guys have played very much with him and Kirk calling the game or not. There's no excitement in his voice.
No, I had a deep pass that the computer put on me. Touchdown, Iowa. It was a deep pass. And he just said it like it was a normal thing that happened.
And I don't necessarily fault him for it. It's more the producers that were supposed to be getting out of him, you know, what they wanted. Because Kirk is great. Reese and the rest of the group, they are great, in my opinion. But Chris Fowler just has no excitement. It's like I don't know. I don't know how to put it, but it's something that does not seem like it's coming from a football game at all. It just seems like he's commenting on a chess game or something like that. I mean, it's very, very flat.
Maybe he was reading lines for Wimbledon 25 instead of college football 25. But I had that exact same situation that happened to me just a couple hours ago. It was a big, deep play. You know, you should have him like, it's a deep play. You know, you got to trigger that excitement. And I don't know if, you're right. I don't know if that wasn't in the script or they programmed the wrong touchdown where it was like a 1 yard touchdown run or a blowout game and they use that instead. I don't know, but
it's just his voice affect and in all lines. It's not big plays, it's not anything, it's just he doesn't come across like he does when he's calling a Saturday game. I mean, it just really is not there. Again, I don't fault him as much as I fault the producers, because they've got to get out of them what they want, and clearly they didn't push him and say, hey, we need more from you or something. They, you know, it's
or direct how to say it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They need to say, hey, you sound like you're reading from a script. We need you to do this, you know, that kind of thing.
I was listening to a Crane & Company this week, had David Pollack on, and they asked him about being in the game. And he brought up how, at least for him, how it works. And I'm sure it was the same for all the rest of the town. That he goes, I have no screen in front of me. They're basically telling my ear, okay, I think the example he gave was, okay, it's 4th and 1 at midfield and the team just converted it. Like, he had to come up with it. I'm sure there's some, obviously, script. We saw Kevin Connors posted, he has a script. So I'm sure there's definitely some scripting going on, but it sounds like some of it is also very ad-lib. So I can see where there's a challenge there. Like, they should have been, like you said, I mean, maybe they put the wrong one in. Maybe that was the blowout touchdown versus a long, exciting play. Do you guys think their commentary sounds muffled? I've debated, is it my TV setup, my sound system setup? But even through my headphones, I just feel like all of the commentators, and some are worse than others, I can tell they're very much talking through like a pop filter and a couple feet away from the microphone. It just sounds like it's a hair muffled. Am I alone in that?
When Chris and I played those 5 games on the Wednesday of launch week, we could clearly see and hear, we could clearly hear Pollack was a lot more quieter than the others when he would pop in. You could hear that clear as day within the headphones. Overall, though, I don't know. I guess I need to pay attention a little more. I think I focus too much on the game a lot to really kind of focus on things that the commentary are doing, except for that Fowler bomb that he made it sound like it was a double fault at Wimbledon. But yeah, the noticeable thing there was the volume on Pollack.
His sound like he's either sitting away from the microphone or he's got kids sleeping in the house and he's trying to be quiet. Yeah. That, to me, I very much get that listening to him. It's like, it's good, he's fine, but I tell you, he's trying to be a little reserved because maybe the kid upstairs might start crying if he yells too loud.
And that's the first thing I thought of Chris Fowler, is that he's got family in the background that he doesn't want to bother because he doesn't want to get too animated or excited. I mean, it's really is like he's trying to keep himself contained or something like that, whether it's on purpose or just because he's not used to doing voiceover work or whatever it may be. It just, it doesn't seem to fit very well.
I think
That
the big
seemed.
difference was that, you know, they used to bring that they had to bring them down to Orlando in the past, and maybe they could coach them on the fly, where this is all remote work from home that you have to base you're basically coaching them through email and text and not on the fly in a studio.
Well, and they did have, they said they had audio producers there on the recording with them. So, I mean, they were able to give them instructions live. You know, it's basically, it was like a Zoom call. So they
Oh,
were
like a
able
Zoom
to,
call. Yeah.
you know, kind of do that kind of thing. But still, yeah,
If that's
I
the
don't.
case, then yeah, that you're right, Tommy. It is definitely on them for not not coaching them right on an excitement level, unless, like Chris just said, the wrong file was used to, for that play, which is entirely possible too.
Was it because Fowler sounds excited when he did those Instagram videos when he or his social media posts? Like he sounded really excited, but I haven't really heard those in the game. And I've seen a lot of community members say that they actually like the broadcast team commentary over the big game commentators because of that reason, because the excitement's not there.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I've only played a handful of games with Fowler and Herbstreit, but Herbstreit's good. You know, obviously he's done it for years and years, but the broadcast team, the other broadcast team to me is a lot better. You know, there's they still get repetitive just like any other repeat, you know,
It's going to happen.
yeah, it's going to happen. But at the same time, it's overall, it's more seamless. It's more excitable. It's more having fun with it, it seems like.
I played a exhibition bowl game with the broadcast team, and it's funny, like they got stuck in the beginning of the game when the two of the same buckets. One was like Pollock talking about the experience of being playing in a bowl, and then it must have forgot that he already did it because then they went to Jesse, like Reese, like started all over. Jesse, now tell me about when you played in a bowl game. And like the whole half of the first quarter was just these two guys talking about the very vague bowl experiences they ever had in their career. And I thought, okay, it should have only done one. It shouldn't have done both, but it's a small thing.
I will say that it's kind of fun playing with like Penn State at Michigan. They're talking about former players. Like they're actually listing legends from, you know, Penn State has these all these running backs from the past 30 years or whatever it is, and then start listing their names. You know, it's not vague or anything like that. It's truly saying that these are the greats of the past.
Yep, and Nebraska does that too. They talk about some of the great players and they mention them. And now, granted, they only have like one line about it or the same line because every home game you play, you hear the same exact
Yeah.
commentary, but it's an improvement from what we had in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we also have the soundtrack for the game is officially released on any kind of streaming service you use, whether it be YouTube Music, Spotify. The official soundtrack, the fight songs, it's 168 total songs, includes the game's main theme. All the fight songs are in the game, all of the sounders that are in the game. Some schools have multiple songs. Every school, I believe, at least has one, which I think we knew going in. It's pretty interesting. One, you go through, they, for some reason on this, they play each song twice. I don't know if I haven't listened close enough to hear if they're different or if it's just the same song looped. What's interesting is that we posted it on our Twitter account, and we had somebody from Clemson who said, yeah, they're not playing it right. He didn't go into details, just the songs in the game. I've read that a few schools are wrong in terms of EA had like the PAT and the touchdown songs mixed up, I believe, for Oklahoma, Georgia Tech, A&M. And then I went through and listened to the soundtrack a little bit yesterday while I was traveling. And there's overall, I think what they did was they kind of sped up the music, like in terms of when they recorded it and live with the band. They didn't do not effects, but obviously, which makes sense because the bands always play, you know, a little faster, a little more pep than what the music indicates, like the beats per minute, for example. But when I listened to it yesterday, I'm like USC's Tribute to Troy and Oklahoma State's Waving Song. I thought, I don't think those songs are supposed to be sped up like they're sped up. It's a small thing. But then, you know, as we talked about and put on social media, we had some fans who said, it's not, some of these are a little off. But overall, though, I think it sounds better than what we had in the past. I think they're trying to get more of a real feel with the bands. And it is cool to have 168 songs. Now, granted, a lot of the songs are repeated, but it's almost 3 hours of music. So if you like fight songs, and of course, that brought up the big community question of why couldn't have this been the menu music? Why did we have to get the same five drum cadences?
Yeah, I still don't understand that. You've got that many songs and you know that many teams. Play my team's fight song when the menu first loads up, especially, you know, my favorite team, just kind of like the menu background appears. But then after that, just play random fight songs that you've got all of these different options.
It's
Use
not
them
complicated. Yeah.
and yeah,
They
exactly.
overthought it.
Intersperse the drum cadences if you want to, but at the same time, add some more variety there.
Yeah, it's not like they hadn't done that before, so I don't know why they thought about doing something different this time.
They overthought it. Finally, the last thing I want to get your guys' thought on is the marketing and communication for the title so far. Granted, we're not even 2 weeks in officially, but first off, like we said when we started the show, with 2.2 million people playing this in early access, we hope you like the marketing and communication we had this year, because it's going to be the same next year, because they're going to say that was a winner. We're not changing it. To date, I still haven't seen any national TV ads, but I am starting to get audio advertisements, say on Spotify, between podcasts and songs I'm listening to. That kind of started just in the last 24 hours for me. I think it's worth noting that EA put out last week on the 22nd, they put out some of the issues they're looking to work on and address, which I thought was great. They mentioned, you know, some of the bugs they had, some of the community issues they had, they're looking into. But then the next day we had a patch come out and they didn't put out patch notes. Besides mentioning, if you can't get into an online dynasty, let us know at this link. I thought, you know, one move is so smart to put out what we're working on, but when they actually put out a patch, they don't tell you what's in it. That is very disjointed communication. What do you guys think about the marketing and communication to date? Now, granted, they could all change, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get a big campaign closer to the start of the season. But what do you think to date? What do you think of it so far?
Yeah, definitely to your point, the patch notes is a big miss. They did say that in future ones, they will have patch notes. So, you know, at least there's that. But to me, I've seen more communication about server maintenance than I've seen communication about anything else. I mean, when you literally have to maintain the servers every day for like 2 weeks, it's, you know, it's pretty frustrating from a perspective of that's the only communication you're hearing, more or less. So all in all, the marketing to me, I don't think it sold the game at all. So if they do still, the game sold itself. If they stick to that same routine next year, then they're not going to have as many sales. It's a game that's been gone for 11 years. And so people are going to buy it because of that. Now, granted, the game is great. A lot of stuff to fix, but the game itself on the surface is great. So that also triggered some more people to want to buy it. But at the same time, you can't do that next year. You can't do a small iterative update and just expect it to sell itself again.
I think they did more 2024 advertising than 2014 advertising or 2010 advertising. They did advertising on Snapchat and TikTok and websites as opposed to TV, which is obviously cheaper, but it obviously is reaching more of a target audience of younger crowds. So I think they decided to, in terms of not seeing anything on TV, I think they went with more of a modern approach to the marketing part of it. Out of the gate, you know, I mean, just look at the Metacritic. It'll speak for itself. It's 20 points higher than last year's Madden, which means it was definitely not a Madden reskin and people liked it. And though I think there's been some, last I looked, the user score dropped quite a bit. I'm gonna guess there's probably some EA user bombing going on, or one thing is wrong, so somebody flips out and makes it a zero. So the user score has gone down by quite a bit, but still 86 across the board is what they're at right now. And I think that's a major win. They put together a great product for the first try. Obviously, we all know this going in. This is a base to build off of. And I think they have put together a great base for us, at least.
That's the thing, is it is a base, but they, from the years past, the updates to me were small in the sense of trying to bring in new fans. So to me, if you don't win the fans over with this game, then next year, you can't just do a small update. You have to do big things next year again. Mm. Now, some of that's just going to be, you know, expanding on Road to Glory and adding some, you know, new features or whatever it may be.
Back of the box stuff. Time,
yeah, exactly. But it can't just be a roster update, you know.
Yeah, I think FCS would be really good, especially for your online dynasties. That gives you an extra level of kind of a step back to start from for those that like to start from the bottom and try to get to the top. I think adding FCS to the mix in the future would be a great depth adder for Dynasty, especially with the coaching carousel, the transfer portal, and all of that. I think that would be a good big addition to the game in the future, in my opinion.
You're getting mascot mashup next year. I mean,
yes.
I'm not saying that joke.
I got to play with the trees. Yes.
I feel like that you should half plan on that for next year. They'll add another wave of mascots because they don't have to focus on 150 stadiums. We're going to get, I mean, that's going to be one of the big features next year, that and real coaches. I feel like Mr. Predicto, if he had to come on right now, would put those as two likely things. Talking about the sales numbers, historically, correct me if I'm wrong here, I was under the impression that on average, sports gamers buy their title every other year or every 3 years. Guys listening to us and guys like us, we're the exception, not the rule. It feels like everybody who bought it every 2 or 3 years bought this version. So you got to think next year may not have, you know, big leap in number in sales. I'm not going to say it's going to go down. I also don't think it's going to double either. I think people are going to go back on their regular cycle. Like maybe they'll buy the first 2 years and then reality sets in like, okay, I can be okay with getting it every other. And so that's where the challenge is going to come into, where the promotion and marketing communication is going to have to change.
Much like, you know, like I said, a lot of casual gamers, a lot of people I didn't realize video gamed, got the game. Those people may not, or are likely not to get it next year, possibly. Obviously, the diehards will. And if there's something that can hook in even more casuals, then maybe that'll do it. It's going to be interesting to see what the focus is going to be for 26 on what the major thing, what the major back of the box thing is going to be.
One last thing, Ultimate Team, there's a good point that Problem Right brought up, and I agree with him completely. I don't know if you've seen the legends they've been putting out for Ultimate Team. So far, they've been all players that are in Madden or have been featured in Madden Ultimate Team in the past, like Ocho Cinco, for example. He had said, and I agree with him completely, why are we not getting college-specific stars? He had said, instead of Roquan Smith, why don't we get David Pollock? And, you know, if you think about, you know, JB, like guys like us, we're like, why not Eric Crouch or Tommy Frazier?
Tebow.
I mean, you go to every school and you're going to find a list, whether it be even the smallest school, you're going to find at least a handful of guys that are specific just to their school who did nothing in the pros they would love to have. As of right now, there's no legend they've put in where I've thought, okay, maybe I finally want to put some money into Ultimate Team, because it's all guys I can go play in Madden Ultimate Team.
It's because they have that license already.
I know it.
It's doesn't very make it right, easy. I completely agree. I mean, NFLPA, they've got that license. They can use it in this game. You know, that again, that's what it makes it easy. But no, I completely agree. Yeah, like give me the Tommy Fraziers, give me the Arkansas State Ryan Applin, you know, that kind of player that didn't play pro at all, but at the same time were big impact on their schools and you know, a lot of fun to play with. I'm probably never going to spend a dime on Team Builder, but if they had, you know, some Ultimate legends team. Of Arkansas State, give me some guys from the 60s that you know, were big, that would love to, you know, just to be able to see them in the game.
It's a hard ask for people to double dip if you're a Madden Ultimate Team player. What is the benefit of this, you know?
I agree with you on that. So would you, with your thought with that, is it better if they did the college specific stars now or later? I thought they should have at least interspersed some now, because why would you get Ocho Cinco now and then guess what, a month from now you can get him in Madden again? I mean, why?
Well, yeah, I mean, now
intermingled it a little bit.
Yeah, Madden's not out yet, so I can maybe see that if they're gonna do, maybe they're gonna focus more on those college stars once college football kicks in a month or so. Maybe, I don't, we'll see what happens.
I imagine at the start of college football, they'll release some Ultimate Team for active players. I can only assume that, you know, obviously they did that, some of it at launch anyways, like you could pick your Carson Beck or whoever it was. I don't remember all the options, but at the same time, I imagine, especially once the season starts, they're going to start using some of those real world players and, you know, putting them, you know, have some specialty versions of them or something like that. But yeah, I'll be surprised if they ever release truly under the radar guys in Ultimate Team. I'll be very surprised if it's anybody that's never played in the NFL. There's so much you could do there, but I don't think we're ever gonna see it, unfortunately.
And then you got you can do some stuff like FIFA does with Team of the Week. You could have, you know, some of the best players of the week put into special packs. That'll be a good way to keep it fresh throughout the season. Then the problem is, what do you do after the season? Well, then that's when you try to maybe hopefully get some of those guys like Tommy mentioned. And that'd be the perfect, almost the perfect time to do that. If you're not going to do it during the season, you know, put in the real life players during the season with some updated stats, and then put in some of those college legends at the end to kind of keep it fresh until the new game comes out.
But even so, even if you did have to stick to NFL players, there's still a lot of under the radar guys that didn't make a big splash in the NFL, but they were big time college football players. I can't remember his name, but the quarterback for App State that went against Michigan, you know, he was a huge, you know, under the radar guy. Obviously Tebow's the prime example that, you know, he was huge college player, but didn't go beyond that. But at the same time, you know, there's a bunch of players that you could do with that that would be fun to be able to just kind of have fun with the game going and playing with them,
of course, we
especially
are
if they're from
yet.
your team.
Right. We're still 2 weeks in. I mean,
absolutely.
But
it's
I see
very
his
early.
Point though, that I would have thought they would have mingled some of those in earlier than later. But so with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast. We will be back future shows. We're going to talk about some of the latest topics. Hopefully we'll have some game update news. People are waiting for new uniforms to come in. We have not heard anything on that front, which I think is kind of surprising, but maybe that'll come when the season launches.
Yeah, we have heard kind of some trickles of not official information, but there was one tweet that said that uniforms will come out 30, 60, 90 days after launch. Mm. So that'll be part of it. And then as well, Arkansas State put out a tweet that's saying that, yes, their red uniforms are going to be added to the game. It may have to be that they're first played with in real life before they're added to the game. So again, we don't have any official words, but other than basically we know that they're coming at some point.
So hopefully in future shows, we can talk about the uniforms, we can talk about the game updates, get a little bit more into Dynasty mode, and give some recruiting tips and tricks once we figure out what EA does or does not nerf with those four-star recruits who aren't getting any attention. So for Tommy and JB, I'm CDJ. Everyone, thank you for listening and watching this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast.